with the Eyes podcast starts now.
In this episode, Rochelle Hecker and I will talk about how fear affects our lives and how believing in Christ's presence helps us confront our fears.
Welcome to the Praying with the Eyes podcast. Your hosts are Doug Bronner, senior pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and Rochelle Hecker, mom and public speaker. As an avid photographer, Doug combines the beauty of God's creation with the beauty of His Word in a daily Praying with the Eyes devotional blog. Today's discussion digs deeper into a topic first introduced in one of these daily blogs. Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast.
Welcome to this edition of Praying with the Eyes podcast. It's good to be with you again as Rochelle and I take on today a topic that affects every one of us in one way or another. We're going to talk about fear, and it's a topic that actually has come up in other podcasts as well as when I was doing the broadcast for Praying with the Eyes. And I guess it's one of those kind of things that we deal with all the time, so and I think it's kind of obvious that we should take it on again. Good to have you, though, again, and as you heard in the intro, I'm Pastor Doug Bronner, and again, I'm joined by Rochelle Hecker. And Rochelle, you just got back from a women's retreat. Good time, I understand.
It was a very good time. It was worth going.
And you said, you know, if people tuned into our podcast last week, and we talked about Christian community, you said there were some real positive things that came out of it.
There was. It was really great to see that. I'm sure most of those people, or maybe all of those people, hadn't heard the podcast yet, so I know they weren't cheating.
Yeah, because they went up that day when it actually posted.
When it aired. It was just neat to see that that's kind of what the retreat was about being a family of Christ and bringing people in and watching people that started out on the first day in the way outskirts of the room. And then by the last day, they were in the center of the room with people. And just that women really were reaching out and opening the circles that they normally had and bringing new people in and really building deeper relationships.
And I know that's a hope you had for it. You really wanted to see that happen this time. Because the last time you talked about, and if you listened to the podcast, there were some things that happened that kind of people, and it's a human nature, so I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, were kind of forming their groups in their
right.
Their
yeah, circles. And I don't think it was that they were trying to ostracize anyone or push anyone out, but just they were so into spending time with their own friends that they didn't realize. They didn't even notice other people might have been on the outside. But this one, they really actively were paying attention and drawing people in, and it was just really cool to see.
I think that's really neat. Now, did you get any rest?
I got a little bit of rest. I tended to stay up too late at night, but I took time in the day to nap or to just spend some quiet time, realizing I need a lot of my own time, alone time, so I took advantage
of
that.
Yeah, I would assume for you that it was really kind of neat because you are a single mom. You got three kids still living at home, and one you still keep your oldest daughter you still stay in contact with, too. And so getting away, and you can't, there's no cell phone service up there. You don't get cell phone service.
No cell phone, no internet, no contact with the outside world at all.
And so in that sense, and we know that's not real, but it's not going to last forever, but I think we all need that. I really think we do.
I know we do, and I know I did. I realized I was very tense when I got up there just from my everyday world. So tense, I didn't realize how tense I was till, of course, the relaxation started kicking in, and I just realized I needed to get away from all the things going on in the world for a couple of days. And
at the men's retreat, which was just a few weeks prior to your women's retreat, this is my opinion, but I came that same thing, same idea. I needed to pull myself away. As I mentioned before, I didn't do a lot of the stuff with people. I wanted to get away. And I wonder if that's why I stayed up later, because I don't stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning. And yet three nights in a row, 1 o'clock, I stayed up and I wasn't even looking at my watch saying, it's time to go to bed. I would just say, I'm getting tired. It's time to go to bed. And I'd look, it's 1 o'clock again. I don't know if it's because I rested throughout the rest of the day that it made it much more possible to stay up that late or what.
And the fellowship, a lot of the fellowshipping happens that late.
Yeah, singing show tunes.
Yeah, we sang some show tunes around the campfire. We did some. That's when the good conversations were happening.
Exactly. That was for us too. Exactly. And that was one thing, listening to the last, as you know, I like to listen to previous podcasts so I can critique them. And one of the things you talked about was maybe men and women aren't so different from each other. And that kind of brought that home from what you just said, because that was the most important time for us, probably was around the campfire.
Right. And, you know, we did do things together. We did the rappelling and the zip line and the swing and hiking. and those things. But I do think that it was this discussion afterwards that occurred later in the evening that really did the bonding.
And I'm hoping that, by talking about this, our listeners understand that getting away for something like this is really important in life. I mean, maybe we don't all have kids at home or real stressful jobs, but I think breaking out of the ordinary of our life is very helpful.
Breaking out of the ordinary and just getting away from the media and the chaos in our world. You know, you and I just talked about there's flooding and storms going on. I had no idea. And sometimes it's nice to just not know what's going on around us in the world so that we can really spend our time with God and spend time processing where we're at and not be so distracted and fearful of things going on around us. And I don't know, it's just good to get away from the world itself.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. Praying with the Eyes is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. We would love for you to come and visit our website here at Holy Cross by going to www.holycrosscs.org. And these podcasts are based on a daily devotional blog that I've been writing for 3 years now. And you can find those blogs at the Praying with the Eyes website, which is kind of an obvious website. It's prayingwiththeeyes.com. And love to have you go there. I posted a couple of blogs this past week from other people that contributed. And one of them's from a friend of mine, Jerry Givens, who's wrestling with cancer. And frequently now he's been kind of letting us in on his journey that he's going through. And you might find that those blogs interesting. The other from Ashley Foxworthy, who has a lot of struggles in life. And she's very open and transparent about her struggles. And so I would invite you to go to the Praying with the Eyes website and read those blogs. Rochelle and I would love for you to ask us questions. So you can do that by emailing us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com, and we'll try to get to those as soon as we can. And with the podcast, our show notes, and you'll find those show notes at the Praying with the Eyes website. And once again, we want to make mention to you that we want these our podcast to generate a discussion. And so we would like you to comment on these podcasts and join us in this journey that we're on. And today is a journey of talking about fear. And I again, this is based on a blog I wrote, and I'll explain the picture when we get to the last segment today. And fears I face, some physical fears when it comes to zip lines and heights and stuff like that. But I almost wondered if I didn't misname this, conquering fear, as if we can actually conquer fear. Maybe we need to talk first of all about what fears we have, and Rochelle and I have been again prep. We enjoy the prep time for these podcasts, and I changed mine. I've said before that my fear is snakes, and I can go back into that. But as I was coming in, I was listening to last episode that we went through and critiquing it, something hit me that one of my biggest fears in life is the fear of being rejected. It controls a lot of my life. I don't know. I can address it and think about it and say, well, you know, why give people that power of your life, whatever, of rejection? And what does it even mean? I don't even know. What am I afraid of being rejected about?
I don't know. But I think it's a common fear. I mean, we want to be liked.
Because being unliked is not usually a very comfortable place to be.
No.
Especially if it's in going back in school. As I'm just thinking through this with you, Rochelle, is that maybe it's connected for me with going back to school. I was real, real small. I mean, all the way up through until I got into, I graduated from high school, I weighed 120 pounds. You know, the joke of my growing up years was, if I turn sideways, I disappear. and giving an example, what kind of bullied a bit. We had to wait for the bus to go to junior high, and every year I would be pushed to the back of the line because I was small.
Because they could.
And you know, bullied. I don't know if there's a connection with that in fear of rejection, but I just know that I was made fun of a lot.
Which nobody likes. I mean.
No. 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 I know it's kind of a serious one to get started with. Probably would have been easier to do snakes.
No, but it's actually a deeper. I think it's good to go deeper and go beyond, because it's easy to say I'm afraid of bees. I don't love bees, but that's not That's not the deeper fears that I deal with.
Then you would not have enjoyed the evening meal we had with some friends of ours. We were outside, and even though it was cold and windy, yellow jackets were everywhere.
Yellow jackets is actually the true. It's not really bees. It's because I stepped on a yellow jacket nest on my 11th birthday. Yeah. And ran through the woods being chased and spent the day in ice. So.
Wow. Yeah, that would do it.
They make me nervous. But but deeper fears, I was, as you and I were trying to talk, and I was writing things down. And they, you know what? A lot of our fears have to do with how we are perceived. Because I realize I don't, one of my fears, of course, is just not doing things well enough, not parenting well enough, I was doing music for the retreat, and I really wanted to do a better job than what I did. I think that was a little bit of pride hitting there. So that was fear.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And then my biggest fear is just forgetting things, because I don't have a good memory. I've had a lot of head injuries, and I'm always afraid I'm missing something I should be doing, and I'm afraid it will impact somebody else and mess up their
day. And I would assume then that fear is based on sometime when it probably did impact somebody.
It frequently does.
Okay, so it's not, we're going to talk about probably somewhere along the line. As those of you who listen to this podcast regularly know, we're going to talk about something and we never get back to it. But we'll talk about rational, irrational fear. That's pretty rational fear, because you are basing it on something that really did happen.
It's something that does impact other people. If I forget to go pick up my child after a sports event, that's a problem.
One for me that was terrible is that I got afraid of is I left two of my kids in the car when they were small.
I have also done that. I had a newborn that got
left. I'm past the statute of limitation now, so I can't come back on the
internet. Well, and I don't know if I am or not. But, you know, I have compassion for that. When people get angry at parents that do that, I've done that. And it's terrifying when you realize you're capable
of that. Well,
that's
just it. They don't think we're terrified when we've done it. Right. It's like I ran out of the store, ran back to my car. My kid's crying, you know. And it just breaks your heart when you do something like that. But anyway, so there is fear. There is rational fear.
There is rational fear. Fear is, I mean, it's healthy. There's, like you said, as soon as you realized, you ran. If you weren't fearful, you might have just, you know, finished your shopping trip and leisurely gone back. That wouldn't have been
wise. He'll be fine, you know. Yeah, I'm only going to be here for a few more minutes, you know. And it wasn't fear that somebody would, what I remember now, you know, this is back in Spokane, so many years ago. But I don't remember being afraid that somebody's going to find him there and I'm going to get in trouble for it. I was fearful for my son.
I have to admit I was fearful for both.
I think
fearful
probably
for
afterwards.
My son, and I was on post, a military post.
Ooh,
so what that would have done
to
our whole lives would have been amazing. But thankfully, and mine slept through the whole thing and had no idea.
Well, okay,
see,
the first time, that was the second, the first time so. I did it, came back out to the car. My son was in there playing with his fingers. It was fine.
So, yeah, but sometimes fear is necessary. It gets us moving faster. It gets us out of bad situations and into the right place.
Oh, sure. We are not saying that fear is bad and you should conquer all fear in our life, because fear can save your life.
Exactly.
Or save somebody else's life, depending on how we respond to it. We talked about fight or flight. Yeah.
Yes.
And I mean, both responses can be healthy, both can be unhealthy. So hopefully our listeners aren't thinking that, oh, we're going to get rid of fear completely, because that would be unhealthy. I heard of a situation recently where that was the case, where somebody didn't have fear and they should have been very much afraid. Now, not God's protection was over that situation. But
it comes into where we'll be heading, is God's protection.
So. Yeah, it will be. So let's take a break, Michelle. Let's give our listeners a chance to catch their breath for a second, and let's take on then, when we come back after this break, how fear affects our lives. We'll be back in just a moment.
Looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are, a place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts, a place where you can talk about God without being judged, then I invite you to join in a life-changing experience at Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com.
If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45, or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
The Praying with the Eyes podcast is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and a great place to be. Not perfect, but that's a place that God has allowed me to be here for 16 years as pastor, and I have no desire to move anyplace, be anyplace different. God may have different desires sometime in my life, but I enjoy being here. You can find out more about Holy Cross at our website at holycrosscs.org. Rochelle and I would like for you to email us with your questions. You can do so at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. So when we ended the last segment of our this podcast, Rochelle and I were talking about basically rational fear, where we can understand it's healthy, can cause us to avoid some bad situations. But what this podcast is more about is irrational fear. And Rochelle, how would you define irrational fear? What's the difference between, you know, I mean, you got the words, I understand that. They'll probably say something to each one of us, but what is irrational fear?
Irrational fear is fear that we have no control over. And it doesn't help us with anything. Rational fear is there's truly a problem that we need to deal with instantly. We need to run or we need to fight. But irrational fear is fear that's so far outside our control or isn't even a real fear. It's not necessarily something that's going to occur.
It's a real fear, but it's not. Yeah, there may not be a real danger out there.
Right, right.
For us to be afraid of. So let's think of an example.
Well, I was just thinking of in my fear of forgetting things. That's a real fear, but if I'm spending all my time worrying about it, it's not healthy.
Well, and I say my fear of snakes is irrational. Yeah, a snake can attack you. Have I ever been bitten by a snake? Maybe when my friend Joey Noviello had his snakes and I held one and it bit me.
But it didn't really do anything but hurt a second.
Yeah, because right? It was a garter snake.
So it's not that it's necessarily even totally irrational, although some fears are based on lies. And I think that's a true, totally
based
irrational.
Based on lies. Okay.
Based on a lie.
Trying to think what would be a good example of a lie. I'd go back to my fear of being rejected.
Of being rejected, that's...
Yeah, there's a lie to that. It could happen.
It could happen, but the fear is based on the fact that you're afraid people don't like you to start with.
Yeah, which is a very self-centered fear, too.
Well, we don't have to worry about that part.
We're not going to talk about that today. Yeah, let's not go there. Okay, so fear... this kind of fear specifically we're talking about, although rational fear can have the effects in the same way. Let's talk about the effect it has on us physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. When I think of fear, the first thing I think of is the physical aspects of what it does to me. And since this is a podcast, it's hard. You can't see what I'm doing, but I'll clench my hands across my chest, my arms across my chest, and I pull back, I guess one of the best ways to talk about pill bugs or whatever, potato bugs or other people call them, when they curl up in a ball.
Roly-polies.
Roly-polies, yeah, yeah, those things. And that's kind of that emotion I have, or the physical aspect I have. I kind of tense up and I get into this protective ball.
Into a ball.
But I think it goes further than that then that fear. I don't eat as much leads to anxiety. Which is maybe not, that's not a physical issue, it's more of an emotional issue. Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, when Rochelle and I talked about this, I had this all divided out really nice and neatly of how it affects us, our thinking, how it affects our emotion, how it affects our body, but it's all wrapped up into one ball.
It is, because our bodies are all one thing. So for me, I don't wrap into a ball, but I start shaking, my breathing gets funny, my heartbeat speeds up, I start sweating. I would probably be more prone to eating more instead of not eating. And just thinking through, actually, my kids were, this morning, Tori did something in the car, and both Tori and Billy asked if that startled me, and I hadn't even noticed, but apparently, like, I shook, or I startled, but I didn't even notice. So just even our bodies do tense up, and the tension and the muscle tension happens a lot too, which then brings in, but at the same time, you've got all those thoughts going on through your head that are just all over the place. For me, the thoughts go faster when I'm fearful of something.
And actually, I think that's very natural, because go back to the things we talked about. Fear creates in us two emotions, or two, not emotions, two desires, one to flee and the other to fight. And those are very cognitive actions. You got to be thinking about it. And so our brain would function faster in fear, at least initially.
Right, so at least you can know which one you're supposed to be doing at this time.
Yeah, and how you're going to do it. Looking for the exits if you're fleeing. And that can be metaphorical, literal or metaphorical exits. You know, or looking for instruments to fight with. You know, you'll scan the room.
It's funny that you say that, too, because I'm realizing now as you're saying that, at times I can picture where I've hyper-focused. Like, everything in the room goes dark except that one thing I can see much more clearly. And things seem to slow down even for a moment if it's something I can focus in on. If it's something outside my ability to focus, then I'm all over the place looking for it.
Well, I was going to say, then it's the opposite. I think if it's an irrational fear, that tends to be this view becomes almost a 360. You can't focus on anything.
Right. So your brain is just racing through different
thoughts. Because it's going all these scenarios. But when there's an actual fear, yeah, boom, you got that tunnel vision. You're looking at exactly what it is you're dealing with. But that maybe creates part of that anxiety then, because there becomes a lack of focus and a lack of really, how can I address this fear that I have in my life?
When I don't really know where it's coming from or how to deal with it.
Right.
Right.
Which then, you and I were talking earlier about this difference between anxiety and panic attacks too. Anxiety, though, when we looked it up, is dealing with, there's a real precipitating.
Right, there's a trigger to it. There's a reason for your anxiety.
Yeah, where panic isn't.
Yeah, panic has no, it just is chemical. It just happens to your body.
So maybe sometimes when I'm thinking of fear leading to anxiety, it's not leading to anxiety, it leads to panic. Because that, to me, is going back to that vision we just talked about of lack of focus. There's nothing that's really I can address to deal with this, and so that becomes panicky, more panicky. I don't know. Yeah, those emotions, fear, anxiety, and panic, are so intertwined with each other.
They are intertwined, and sometimes they're all happening at once. Like, you know, you might have a fear that has a trigger that's real, but then the panic about all the other things that might happen, the impact of this may cause this and that and the other thing, and that's when it's becoming irrational. You're thinking of all the add-ons that may or may not happen.
Well, now that when you said that, we had talked earlier about post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, and that came to my mind as soon as you said that something can happen. I know a man in the congregation who lived across from a guy who was had been deployed and bombs, had experienced the bombs, and he would not have anybody park in front of his house because of fear of that explosion going off. There's something real there that happened in his life, but now it gets, all this other stuff gets drugged into it. So, or I hear of people, a car backfires and it triggers all the stuff that they had from war event.
It makes 4th of July very difficult for a lot of military families because of all the explosion sounds that happen.
But tying into what you were saying is, it's a real event there.
Okay? It's a real event. There's a real reason.
And then this other stuff in the past gets all brought into it. And it's an automatic response. It's not even something you sit there, you're conscious of. It just happens. You know, you hear it, and all of a sudden the stuff comes back. Maybe you can't even identify what it is. And it's not just about people who've been deployed in military. I mean,
no,
PTSDs,
I was just thinking,
all over the place.
Well, I have two. One is my, you know, I have a daughter with on the autism spectrum, and things used to really cause great big meltdowns. And now I find, my mom even pointed out, I jump and try to protect her and try to stop it from happening, and she's actually fine.
But you have an old way of dealing with it.
I have an old way of dealing with it. And I noticed at the conference, people moved my things, and I couldn't figure out why that caused me to get very upset, which was an anxiety. And I realized it's because I'm afraid of forgetting something. And if somebody moved it, I won't even remember. Things have to be where I put them, or I won't remember they exist. and I
so
have
now
a big
I know how
routine.
To drive you nuts.
Exactly. You may drive me nuts by moving my things, but and thankfully I actually realized what it is, because then I can stop being anxious about it. Okay, I'm just afraid.
But your immediate response probably is to be anxious or fearful.
It is.
When you first see, okay, somebody moved my whatever, and then you have to consciously tell yourself, okay, you know, whatever self-talk you
right.
use.
Right. And on that, that's a low-level issue, so I can talk myself through it and go, okay, I'm okay. But when you're talking about someone who's been through major trauma, it's a chemical reaction anyway. It's a thing going on in your brain neurologically that you can't talk yourself through. So PTSD is actually much deeper than my silly, don't move my stuff. I don't want to belittle it. It may be silly,
but it's still real. I mean, and I think a lot of our listeners can relate to that, because we sit there and say, oh, my fears are silly. Yeah, but they're real, and they need to be addressed and dealt with, because if they don't, they create anxiety for us. Rochelle, we didn't talk about this, but I'm going to bring it up anyway in preparation, because it came to my brain about this. The biggest fear I feel people have, and I don't think it's conscious of us, from us most of the time, is the fear of dying, and how that creates emotional trauma, our thinking changes. I think it can't even affect us physically, depending on how deep we go. But especially, I think that fear of death affects our thought process. Because we want to avoid death. We want to avoid dying.
That's funny, because maybe I'm just odd. I'm not afraid of dying. And you know, I've heard people say, even, I'm not afraid of death. I'm afraid of how the death is going to happen. You know, what kind of death? But
But you have a unique experience in your life that not many of us have, with a very traumatic death. And I don't know if that's part of why
I think
you...
that may have changed the way I perceive how death happens. To me, it seems like the death is the easy part. I have more of a fear of other people dying, because I know that that's hard. But if I'm dead, I'm not going to care. And I think my brain has processed through that.
Well, okay, I think maybe you hit on something there that's really true for most all of us. It's not, I know some of us have the fear of ourselves dying, but maybe that's not as prevalent as the fear of somebody else we love dying. Our dog dying too, you know, whatever, the fear. And we think about the loss we will experience when a person that we love dies.
Someone's not there. I know, you know, here's a little plug for the financial planners and insurance people, but it's hard to get people to think about death. They don't want to talk about it, and they don't want to prepare for it. And yet when you do prepare for it, you're not as fearful of it.
Well, and as you said that, I'm going, oh, I hope our listeners haven't turned this off right now, because I don't know, they're talking about death. I don't want to go there.
Oh, no, and some people just don't, you're right. They don't want to think about their own death or the death of people they love. They want things to stay the way they are. And even you can go as far as you don't want change, that fear of change, the fear of losing your job or things you care about.
Yeah, because the older I get, but for me it's about age. The less fearful I am about death. I do remember being pretty young and being fearful about it, though, and not wanting to die, because I had so much life to live. Well, I've lived, you know, nearly 60 years. Not a long life, but you know what? Longer than a lot of other people I've buried, you know, and I just buried a gentleman that's my age. You know, and it becomes less fearful for me of my own death. I agree with that. But I do get fearful still of losing one of my kids.
Yes. Yes, that's scarier for me too.
Yeah. So we've talked about this idea of fear, and maybe touched on how it affects us here bodily and emotionally in our thinking process. I don't know. It seems there more that we got to go a little deeper though with thinking, how it affects our thinking.
I was just thinking that because it does. It starts out rational, but so quickly we start to internalize our thoughts. And that's one thing. When you internalize your fears, then you can allow for the irrational thoughts and the lies to start coming in, and everything becomes contorted and you're not seeing it. When you externalize your thoughts, a lot of times you'll have a support system around you who can tell you that's not true. But when we're fearful, sometimes we shut down and we can't even communicate with other people as well, or at least that's me.
Yeah, and so what's interesting too is that maybe the irrationality of our fears sometimes comes in even in a rational fear because of our thought process. We make it irrational.
I absolutely think we make it irrational, and we build it up far bigger than it was to begin with, and we start just believing things that aren't true.
I've had that in pastoral ministry when I get fearful about talking to somebody about a difficult issue. Something comes up, and I build up scenarios in my brain ahead of time as to how this is going to go. And very, very, very rarely does it go as negatively as I picture it in my brain. Most of the time, there was this issue. Oh, well, thanks for calling.
Right. Well, and it's funny because how much of that is this preparing for the worst case scenario? So our brain is sitting there thinking, if they say this, I'll need to say that. But God doesn't call us to do that. He says that he wants us to just be ready and he will speak. But we do. We want to prepare. We want to know what's going to happen in this conversation. You see it in marriages where spouses, I know what he's going to say, so I'm not going to say this because then he'll say that. And we plan out the whole conversation. You're right. That's not rational.
It's not rational, and it never happens. I mean, that's a statement.
It rarely
very rarely happens the way we think it's going to go. Now, sometimes it can go worse, you know, than what we imagine it going. But
rarely does thinking about it ahead of time help change the situation, unless you take it and go, okay, I'm going to change the cycle.
And so that fear immobilizes us to do anything. I have not made calls, phone calls that I should make because I'm afraid. Because of what I thought about, it built up this thing to be.
Yep.
So we're going to take a break, and we're going to bring in a blog that was written by a Christian man, Jack Zavada is his name, and the blog that he wrote was on dealing with fear. Beating fear takes the right approach, and we'll talk about that blog and hopefully help you listeners in your struggles with fear too. We'll be back in a moment.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, we encourage those who hunger to be nourished by God. We believe that true nourishment for our lives is met in our Creator and Redeemer God. At Holy Cross, we proclaim the message that our God desires intimacy with us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that worship is an experience of this intimacy. To find out more about worship styles and times, visit our website at www.holycrosscs.org. And if you don't live in the Colorado Springs community or you are part of a different Christian community, we encourage you to join with God's people as He nourishes His relationship with you.
We invite you to come to the website for the Praying with the Eyes ministry at www.prayingwiththeeyes.com. There's a lot of stuff that's written there and to inspire you and to help you grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus Christ, and would love for you to be a part of that. As we took that break, we talked about this article I found on the internet, which is always fun, just perusing the internet for these kind of articles. And it took me a while this time to find this one, by a man named Jack Zavada, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly, who wrote for About.com in the Christian section of About.com. And the link for this blog is in the show notes if you want to read it for yourself. It's not a very long blog. And it would be a good jump-off point for Rochelle and I to some ideas here, now bringing God into our discussion of fear and how do we address our fear in the context of our relationship to Jesus Christ. So in this article, one of the things he says at the beginning, I took kind of his premise for his addressing fear, is that he writes, we not only want to know the future, we want to control it as well. And he goes on to say then that we want to be God. And that's very biblical. I mean, go back to Genesis chapter 3 and serpent's temptation to say you'll be like God, which is really a temptation to be God and have control over our lives. And I was sharing with Rochelle before we started broadcasting the experience I had back in the congregation in Portland before I came here. We had a young lady in that church who was a pilot, and she was working on becoming an instructor. And in her classes, to become an instructor, she had to take somebody up to do a discovery flight. And a discovery flight is she takes off, she lands, and then once we're in the air, I take over the wheel and I would fly the plane. Now, I had flown in small planes a lot, and I like small planes a lot. We would take off from Troutdale, Oregon, a friend of mine who was a pilot, and we'd fly up to Seattle. We flew. One day, I remember he called me up and said, hey, do you want to go have lunch in Sun River, Oregon? Sure, which is a nice resorty town in Oregon, and we took off and went there. And you take off in the Troutdale Airport. It's in the Columbia River Gorge. There's a lot of winds that come through that gorge, and I still remember taking off and you crab. Once you got in the air, then you're crabbing, which, you know, the plane is at an angle, and yet you're going forward. It's just kind of a strange experience. That didn't bother me. But so I'm taking the stick, I guess is a better word for it, but it's the wheel in this little Cessna. And I'm flying it, and I think I'm doing okay. She's telling me how to turn and what to do. And my legs down around my knees started feeling a little wet. And I looked down, and my hands were dripping sweat because I was so nervous and fearful when I was flying, because I needed to be in control. It's about the issue of control. And so, when I, like I said, when somebody else is in control, I'm fine. But we have this need to be in control.
It's both of what you're saying with that example. It's we think we have a need to be in control of things, but when we have no control, we're actually more comfortable.
It can be, as long as we have somebody to control.
Right, as long as we know who's in control.
Who's in control, yeah. Yeah, and what we're talking about here is, in our relationship with God, is understanding it's not our role to be God, because when we do, it's going to cause a great deal of fear, but to understand he's in control.
And it's so funny, because it does cause us so much fear, and yet that's what we continually seem to grasp for. I want to control the situation. I want to make all the calls and make sure everything's lined up and get everything straight. And I don't want to just let go and trust that God's got this and it's okay. But if we can manage to truly believe him when he says he's in control, then we can just relax and all the fear can be gone.
Because that leads us to a comment we're going to talk. I think we're going to spend a little bit of time on this one. He makes the point that more than 100 times the Bible tells us not to be afraid. And then Jack goes on to make a point that he says, God is a loving father who never expects us to do something we're incapable of doing. So we'll start at this angle. I know you have some really strong opinions about this.
I do. It's my biggest pet peeve.
Let's start a little bit broader. Is it possible to not be afraid?
Sure. It is possible. Yes.
In the realm of possibility.
In the realm of possibility, it is possible to not be afraid.
I don't think so. Go tell me, convince me otherwise.
Well, and my question for you would be, like, to never, ever be afraid, never experience fear, or to be able to get to a situation where you can let go of fear?
Good question. We need to define that, because I was going to the aspect of never being afraid.
Okay, well, I agree with you that we all will be afraid at some point.
Which is unrealistic, so let's take on, let's not delve on that deeper into that topic. Let's go to where you were going then. Is it possible to not be afraid
in what might be perceived a typical fearful situation?
Right. Okay. So you would say, yeah.
Yeah, I would say, yeah.
Why?
And it goes back into where we were saying, when you realize, I was speaking with women at the retreat this weekend about that. You get to a point where when you realize you cannot control the situation you are in, you absolutely have no, there's just nothing else you can do. You can let go of fear, because it becomes a comforting place to be. I can do nothing. God is completely in control of this. And I can just feel safe that he's in control. It's when I feel like I might have control, or if I do something right, then God will bless me, that we become fearful.
And here's the issue. I struggle with my own life with that. When I flew that plane or would fly with somebody else, there's a tangible person sitting next to me who's got the controls, who's reading the gauges, who is one time we were in a pretty fearful situation. We were, the struts were icing up on the plane, and my friend said to me, Doug, I just need you to be quiet. I'm going to focus on the instruments, and I've got to connect with Seattle Center and see if we can get out of this, okay? And even in that situation, I was not fearful, because I knew he knew what he was doing, but he was tangible. When it comes to God, I don't see him, I don't touch him. You know, that tangibleness of God is not there. And what I'm hearing you say is to believe in him. And this is where you have an issue with this man. We'll take that in a second. But that's the issue.
Right. Well, and I'm going to even correct you. It's not just believing in him. It is believing God and what he has
correct.
Said.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
So I'll just quick do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We don't want to just, because believing that he exists
is one thing, but believing he cares,
yeah,
and that he's in full control,
and who he is who he says he is,
right, right. All those things, and I'm not saying that's easy, but there are times in my life I've come to that point, and when I did, the fear goes away when you finally realize he's going to do this better than I do it.
Okay, so that's where we need to go back to this quote by Jack. He says, again, his point is that God is a loving Father who never expects us to do something we're incapable of doing. And so it's that last part you take up issue with him on.
It is, because it's the same phrase as God never gives us...
More than we can handle.
More than we can handle. And it's just not true, because God expects us to do the things only he can do through us. He often gives us more than we can handle because it brings us to him. But he never gives us anything that we can't go through with him.
With him. Yeah, and you bring up a good point, because so many of us believe that comment you made about God will never give us more than we can handle, we actually think that's a Bible quote.
It's not, and it's one of the biggest lies out there right
now. And it's based on a portion that Paul talks about in... I think it's first, it might be 2 Corinthians. I think it might be probably 2 Corinthians, where he talks about temptation. He will not let us be tested beyond our mean of resistance. But then again, same thing you're talking about, though. It's not me resisting, it's him. But that's not the same thing as God will never give you more than you can handle. Because I'm telling you, there's a number of the listeners to this podcast who've had more than they can handle.
Yes.
Human,
stuttering.
Well, when I say that, humanly handle.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm well beyond in my life, so I can imagine many people out there are. I'm far beyond anything I can handle. And maybe that's why this makes me so angry, this lie, because I don't believe God gave me exactly what I can handle. I think he always gives me more. At first, I had one baby, and I got to where I could handle that, and then we added a second baby, and then I got to where I could handle that, and then the next one came, and it just keeps adding. And as soon as I had all four, and we finally felt like we had the rhythm, that's when I lost my husband. And it just always seems like my life has been a testimony of God giving me what I cannot handle, because it always draws me back to him.
And that's the key. You know, here's I find that concept that God never gives us more than we can handle is a mean ogre God. Then when if I really follow through with it, then I have to say God is responsible for this crud in my life, because he knows I can handle it.
Well, and it also puts a lot of pressure on you, doesn't it? Puts a lot of pressure on. If
because
I'm going
it's all about
this,
me.
It's all about me, and I must be able to handle this. So what happens when we fall apart? Does that mean we failed?
Yes, it does. In that kind of theology, yes, it does mean I failed. Because what other conclusion is there? God can't fail, so it had to be me who failed. And so let's talk about the fear. In this comment here, we're incapable of, that they won't give. We'll never expect us to do something we're incapable of doing. Well, I am incapable, really, of conquering in and of myself my fear of rejection. Oh. In and of myself, I want to be very careful. I'm saying that. Because that's what I get from this, that we're incapable of doing. Well, I'm incapable of doing it.
Right. There's just some things we can't do for ourselves. We just can't from the inside out. Now, to be fair to the author, okay, his next sentence is, he either equips us for the task or steps in... Actually, I can't read that part. It's not a good sentence. He either equips us for the task
those, yes,
or steps in to help us do it. There we go. Or okay, he steps in to help us do it. So he does clarify that. That's what he means, is what we're saying too. God equips us and he helps us.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound that way at the beginning. It doesn't. But that actually does lead into, he has two ways for us. That he says willpower will not, you know, conquer our fear alone. So it's part of it, to do two things. And the first one, I think, is very important in this, and we agree with him, and that is acknowledge that fear is too strong for us. Only God can handle it. That's what we're saying saying about it. But then I find him turning kind of interesting in the second one when he says that substitute a bad habit, thoughts of fear with good habits, prayer and confidence in God. I think on the outside that sounds good. And you had a little fun with me before we came on the podcast today, saying my ADD kicks in, and because he talks about the fact that you can't think two things at the same time. Well, that's true, but it's how fast we can think two things at the same time, or three or four. I am ADD, and I jump all over the place, all over the place, and not at the same time. But boom.
But yeah, I mean, with minuscule seconds in between, so it feels like it's the
minuscule.
Same time.
It does, and yeah, you're right. That's a very good way of saying it. It feels like it because you and I are talking. It's like, how did I get here? Where did my thought process even get here? Because it changes so fast, and we're off drifting. We're talking about prayer, and this happens so often in prayer that to really focus in prayer without being distracted is difficult. And the other thing you and I talked about that we probably should bring up too is that fear is not just a thought process. Fear is an emotion.
Right, and it's a physiological response. So it's an emotion, but it's also a chemical, neurological things going on in our body, which is...
That's important to say because there's chemicals going on that just immediately disappear.
Right, and so it all comes together. Now, some of what he's put in here about replacing the bad habit and fear thoughts with a good habit, and then... there was something else that we had talked about earlier. It's good psychology. It works in the world to replace it. That's
and
what
we're not saying
taught.
Necessarily. And what we're not saying that's always bad either.
No, we're not saying it's always bad, but it is. I'm seeing a lot of what he is saying isn't just biblical. It's also what the world would tell you to do. This is how we cope with this.
And your antidote to that would be instead of doing it that way. Where do you see? So he's telling us to replace them. Replacement theory here. You replace this bad habit with a good habit, which is a good habit. Prayer and confidence in God are two very good habits. We're not saying anything bad about that.
Right. And I'm not even sure we explained that that's what we were replacing with prayer and confidence in God and changing our thought patterns.
So what would you add to that maybe more than anything else that relates to what we've been talking about with believing? Your big word in here is believing.
Is believing God and what he has said and who he is and trusting that God is bigger than anything else that you're going through and that he is completely... I think one of my biggest things that I... My mantra then, if I was going to do a mantra like he's suggesting, it was God is good all the time and God is always with me and God is not surprised by this. And those are the types of thoughts I would switch my mind to when I was in a place where I was fearful. But just having those thoughts doesn't mean anything if you don't believe them.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Anyway, so what we're going to do is we're going to take on the blog that I wrote related to this. That, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, I think I misnamed Conquering Fear. But we'll take that on and see what we mean by that. And we'll get in touch with some of those other fears that maybe we have. And one of mine is of heights. So we'll deal with that in a moment.
Looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are, a place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts, a place where you can talk about God without being judged, then I invite you to join in a life-changing experience at LifeTree Cafe. At LifeTree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about LifeTree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three LifeTree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45. Or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. LifeTree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
And so in this segment of the Praying with the Eyes podcast, we want to take on a blog I wrote, as I mentioned before the break, entitled Conquering Fear. If you have questions for us, please email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. And again, I would invite you to go to that website. And a reminder, too, that Praying with the Eyes is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs. So the picture for this blog, and you'll find that picture at the show notes, along with the blog itself, a link to the blog itself. The picture was one taken a couple of years back at Lutheran Valley Retreat. Lutheran Valley Retreat was on the edge of the Haman fire, which happened how many years ago now? 12, 13, 14 years ago. And it still, I believe, holds the record for the largest wildfire in Colorado. And part of the retreat was burned, and part of what's called the ranch, where people have some cabins, more of that was actually burned than the retreat itself. Well, they put up a zip line and some ropes courses in this area that was burned. And the zip line, I know many of you like zip lines, and I'm not necessarily against it. I've been on this one. But to get to the platform of this zip line is climbing a telephone pole with just these little nubs, these little metal nubs. On the bottom, it's easier. The bottom, you got much more stable kind of, I don't know what you want, spikes coming out. But then you've got these little tiny things the closer you get to the top. And I don't know what the purpose was that was for. To maybe it's because they use these with other campers, especially the summer campers, for dealing with issues like fear and community and so forth. So it probably was very intentional. But the platform you stand on, there's two of you on this platform when you get up there, and it's very small, and then they hook you in the harness. Well, the harness is already on you down below. I take that back, because you're being belayed on the way up. And I don't know, but I know that person's down there, but what if that person's asleep? So did you do the zip line this time?
I didn't this year. I did it last year. Unfortunately, my rotator cuffs aren't working, so I can't put my arms above my head and use them.
Yeah, that would be not a good thing.
So I couldn't climb the pole.
But you did something similar.
I did. I got to do the swing, which is you get hooked up and they hoist you up into the trees, and then you pull a string and it lets you go, and you swing between two trees on a rope.
In a harness similar to what you do on a zip line, right? Well, I saw a picture of it. I didn't know that existed, and I think I'd have less problem because I'm starting on the ground and I'm secured, and then when people start lifting me up, I think I could get used to that pretty easy. And I don't think I'd have that much problem letting go of it. I think it'd be kind of fun then.
Well, it's funny because it does touch different people's fears. But people that are afraid of heights didn't like it still. I mean, there were some people that really had to overcome their fear of heights to get hoisted up to the level of a top of a tree.
Screaming all the way up?
Yeah, or doing that whole not trying
not to move.
I can't do this.
What do I do?
So getting them to even get on there. And then, yes, it is difficult to make yourself pull that string that makes you not just hover
up
there.
Is there a, because on the zip line, it's kind of neat. We did it Superman style, where you go head first and you throw your arms out to the side when we did it. There's the initial drop where there's no tension yet on the line. And so there's a foot, 2 foot where you're free falling, not much, you know. And most people were fearful of that. Once I got up there, and actually when I feel secure, I'm okay. And I can take off. And I tried to take videos with my camera, and for whatever reason, I kept shutting it off as I would go. But I don't have a need to do it again.
Yeah.
I don't have a need to do this. So that's addressing fear here, and I know that probably some of you are breaking out in a cold sweat just thinking about being up there at that high and doing something like that. The scripture passage that connected with this blog is from Psalm 56, verses 10 through 11, from the New Living Translation. I praise God for what He has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what He has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? And the point that I try to make in this blog is, that's why I think I misnamed it Conquering Fear. The point I try to make in this is more that God is not going to abandon us when we face our fears. And I think I'm trying to get at something that you said much better than that in our last segment.
Uh-oh.
No, that's, I think, what you're trying to say when you talk about believe God. Not believe, you're saying believe God, believe who He is.
Right. Believe that He loves you and that He's, yeah, He cares enough to take care of this. He's not going to leave you. He loves you, and He is a good God.
And it's that last part, what you just said, it's criticalness. He is a good God. And you and I know, because it's happened for me recently, where you hear of somebody, usually it's not directly to me. For you, it sounds like it's been directly to you, but mine usually comes through people, members of the congregation, that if God were a good God, He wouldn't let the shooting in Oregon take place. He wouldn't let your husband be killed.
He wouldn't let anything bad happen ever, especially to innocent people.
And who's innocent? You're right. That's it. And you go, well, we go to the people that were shot on campus at in Roseburg, Oregon, just 70 miles from where I grew up and where you lived for a while.
Right.
In Eugene. Although I didn't want to go down to Roseburg. Those are mean people down there. I used to wrestle against them down there when I was in wrestling in high school, and they were good. They're a bunch of loggers.
And they climbed poles and rappelled them.
They did. Yeah, yeah. But God, a good God does not let that happen. So go further with, you've experienced some really excruciatingly painful things in your life. How do you call God good in the midst of that?
Well, that's not one that you wrote down here for me. And it's almost hard to explain to people that haven't experienced God at that same, who haven't walked that walk. But I will just say that there's never once been a moment where I have been left to my own devices. And during the worst times has been when I've been closest to God. There was a book called Treasures in Darkness, and it talks about how the veil between us and God is gossamer thin. When you are grieving, you're brought closer to Him. You see things that God is doing that you might not have seen. He's just caring and loving, and I could go through and tell you tons of instances where I saw God working and even preparing for my husband's death, the warnings that came beforehand and the things that God did to show me how much He loved me. I even wrote that in my last letter to my husband. I wonder what's coming that God is telling me so often how much He loves me lately.
And so for you then, was it a sense of anticipation in this very dark moment of your life of what God, how God was going to show you that He loves you? You were trusting that He loved you.
I was trusting that He loved me, and I had no idea it would be something as big as it ended up being. But after that happened, anytime things were going well, I was fearful of what was coming.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Ew. Interesting. I mean, talk about fear.
Right. It makes it hard to trust in the good times when you've had things hit. You're always waiting for the next
thing. And there's no guarantee there won't be another time.
No, but and to release that fear, then, is the trust that God is good, and He got me through this experience, that last one, so He's going to carry me through the next.
And so it's really about an expectation of what, when we say God is good, what do we expect a good God to do? Some people say a good God prevents every tragedy from happening, and so He's not good because He doesn't prevent the tragedies from happening. And that's not what you're saying at all.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that He brings us through, and He walks through, and He surrounds us with people to help. And you know, if I want to look at the, even the bigger picture, and there's probably, I'm pretty sure there's movies about it. If He tried to do everything good and perfect in my life, then He's going to be messing up somebody else's life to do that.
Because of the presence of sin in this world. And that's what we keep wanting to take out of the equation. As human creatures, we never want to take responsibility for our sin that has brought a separation between us and God, healed through Christ, of course. But it also brings so many manifestations of brokenness in our world. And when I've got, so people are clear, I'm not saying doing a bad thing resulted in a bad punishment, okay? I'm talking about the presence of evil in the world, that Satan is real, that sin is real. And God, we chose it. God didn't choose that for us. And so we have to deal with that reality that's there. And what I hear you saying and what I agree with is God's goodness, and the amazing goodness of God is He doesn't abandon us when those things happen.
Exactly. And now I know people that have felt abandoned and still feel abandoned by God. And that's a whole nother wrestling right there. Because it's just not true.
Well, I see. I think you can feel, my opinion on that. I think you can feel abandonment. Because I go to the psalmist at times. They felt abandoned. David felt abandoned. But didn't change his faith. I mean, that's just a feeling. I can feel that God isn't there. And still trust that He is.
Exactly.
And that's, and that He's not abandoned me in the midst of it. My brokenness says, my sin saying that, you know, God isn't really here. Well, that's not, I know that's not what His word says. And even I don't have to feel it. And I made that point in the blog too, that we don't have to feel it. His presence or not.
It's just true.
It's his promise. It's there. It's true. It's absolutely, God's never going to go back on his promises.
My daughter and I often have that discussion when I tell her, you know, you're going to take a shower tonight. And she'll say, I don't believe you. It's not based on your belief. It's
she will say,
happen.
I don't believe you.
Right. whether you believe me or not is irrelevant. When something's true, it's true.
And that's what we're saying. It is true. Well, we thank you for listening to this edition of Praying with the Eyes and wrestling with Rochelle and I on this issue of fear. And I hope it's been helpful to you and that you understand that God will not abandon you in life, no matter what you're facing. We would like you to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave there a review or rate the podcast. If you have questions, again, you can email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. You can join a Facebook group that's Praying with the Eyes, and people post pictures there, and we share ideas and thoughts there. I've also, as I think I mentioned last podcast, I started a Douglas Bronner photography page on Facebook, and that's been a lot of fun when I have time, unlike yesterday when I got home and I was so thoroughly exhausted that I didn't have time to post anything on the page. You can visit the Praying with the Eyes website at www.prayingwiththeeyes.com. Again, we are so grateful for the ministry here at Holy Cross Lutheran Church that allows us to do this and supports this ministry. And we would love for you to go to the website at holycrosscs.org and to check us out. If you live in the Colorado Springs community and you do not have a church home, we would love for you to come and visit us. Our worship services are at 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11 on Sunday mornings. We have Bible class at 9:30 for children and adults, and for adults at 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings as well, plus Bible studies throughout the week. We have a Wednesday night together meal that starts from 4:45 to 6 o'clock, and a nice meal doesn't cost a whole lot. And then we have Bible studies after that. I'm teaching an class on Exodus right now for an hour from 6 o'clock to 7. We have a Life Tree Cafe going on then, too. Speaking of Life Tree Cafes, we have four of them in our congregation right now. We have two of them that meet at over the noon hour on Mondays and Tuesdays, 11:45 to 12:45. One that meets now on Wednesday nights as part of our together time at 6 o'clock to 7. And then Saturdays, it goes a little extra, about an extra hour. We call it Life Tree Plus from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. All these meet at Holy Cross. And in Life Tree Cafe, we deal with difficult issues, and we do it in a non-judgmental way. Your thoughts are welcome. Your doubts are welcome. And you are able to talk about whatever that topic is that's coming up. If you don't live in Colorado Springs and would like to find out more about Life Tree Cafe, please go to their website at lifetreecafe.com. You might find one in your neighborhood. And these are open groups for you to come to and be a part of. I'm excited about our next episode. I took a flyer this week and sent out a Facebook message to a friend of mine that I was wondering if he would come on with us. Some of you will know his name. His name is Tom Schultz. He's the founder of Group Publishing, and he agreed to come on for our next podcast. We're going to talk about a concept that he and his wife Joni develop in their book, Why Nobody Wants to Go to Church Anymore. And that concept is fearless conversations. It's one of four things they think the church needs to be engaged in. So we're kind of keeping that theme of fear and fearlessness as a part of it. I'm really excited about Tom coming on and sharing with us his thoughts as they develop the Life Tree Cafe ministry. And they have a lot of stuff going on at Group. As many of you know, their Vacation Bible School material is probably the most used in the United States of Vacation Bible School material. So I was very humbled when Tom said he would be glad to come on and join us via Skype in our next episode. Please let your friends and relatives know about the podcast as we share Christ and seek connections. And thank you again for listening, and I hope that you will join us in our next episode of the Praying with the Eyes podcast.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. These podcasts are produced by Jason Laird Productions, which you may find online at jasonlairdproductions.com. For any thoughts or questions that you may have, please email Doug at prayingwiththeeyes@gmail.com. And also be sure to subscribe to the Praying with the Eyes podcast on iTunes, as well as post a review. We invite you to tell a friend about today's podcast by posting a link on your social media accounts. We look forward to being with you in our next episode.